Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. We got a great show today. We're talking a little bit of everything. We're going to talk some soccer here to kick off the show in a little bit. We have made it to the round of 16, the knockout round in the Euros. We're going to talk about that. Also, the United States play today. We'll give out a pick there against Panama coming up. Danny Kluppinger is going to join us. Wimbledon starts on Monday, one of my favorite sporting events of the year. Danny will break down the women's and the men's draw. Some odds that might surprise you, we will talk about that. Obviously, at round one of the NBA draft last night, we'll dissect that. We'll look at rookie of the year odds. What were the picks that I liked, didn't like? We'll discuss that. And we got some teams in action today in Major League Baseball. We'll give out some best bets during Big League Peach. Wrap up the show with our favorite plays for today. Matt Horner is going to stop by as well for some of his best bets. Any questions, comments, thoughts, best bets that you guys have for us, let us know. Twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports. And as always, if you miss any part of the show, over the next 30 minutes, well, we got you covered. You can go check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Glasses in session. Let's get this thing going. Goals with Glasser. We will start Euro 2024. And England, who is the pre-tournament favorite at +350, is once again the favorite heading in to the knockout round. And a big reason for that is because of their draw. So this is the reason I really don't like betting too many futures in these international soccer tournaments before the start, especially in the Euros and the World Cup, because a lot of it has to do with the path and then where these teams end up when they head into the round of 16 into the knockout round. You look at the current bracket and how it holds, and the top half is way more difficult than the bottom half of the bracket is. You have Spain and Georgia, Germany and Denmark. So the winner of Spain and Georgia and Germany and Denmark are going to play one another. Likely Spain and Germany, which I think the winner of that game might win the whole thing. Then you have Portugal and Slovenia and France and Belgium all on one half of the draw. I mean, you're talking about four of the teams with the top five odds remaining in Portugal, France, Germany, and Spain all in one half of the bracket. Then in the bottom half, You have Romania and Netherlands. You have Austria, Turkey, England, Slovakia, and Switzerland and Italy. So that is why England is favored at plus 350. And we were talking about this a little bit yesterday. England by no means has looked like the best team in this tournament, and they're probably not the best team playing. But because of their draw and because Spain and Germany most likely are going to have to play each other in the corners, and then you're either going to get likely Portugal or France in the semis, where really England, you get the winner of Switzerland or Italy if they're able to get by Slovakia, and then you get the Dutch in the semifinals. Their path is a lot more favorable. Because of that, looking at some bets that I would like, I think right now if you're going to place a future on some of these teams to win the tournament, I think, like I said, it's going to come down to that Spain-Germany winner. I think the winner of that match in the quarterfinals is going to win the whole thing. I think Spain's the best team that I've seen so far in the Euros. They played the most consistent soccer, and Germany obviously has the advantage of playing in their country. So wherever they go, the crowd's going to be behind them, and they've also looked pretty good. Right now, Spain's plus 400 and Germany is plus 500. I think it's worth a bet taking both of those teams to win. Obviously, you might have to get past France potentially in the semifinals. However, I think France maybe could get upset. Now that we've reached knockout football, obviously, and teams can play for draws and they can play for ties in regulation, and these teams that are trying to pull off upsets, all they're looking for is to get it to penalty kicks, because as we all know, once you get to penalty kicks, absolutely anything can happen. I think France could potentially be in some trouble, maybe even against Belgium, possibly against Portugal as well, so their path is much more difficult. I think the winner of Spain and Germany most likely wins this thing, and I think a 4-1 price with Spain, 5-1 ticket with Germany, both very good options. Then in the bottom half of the region, really like the bet on Netherlands to make the semifinals. As I was mentioning, bottom half of that draw, very favorable for England and the Dutch. Netherlands gets Romania in the round of 16, likely will advance in that match. And then they get the winner of Austria, who won their group, very surprisingly, and Turkey. So I think Netherlands is set up very, very well. I like their draw at plus 120. I think getting them at plus money to reach the semis before they have to play England is a really, really good bet. So I will take Netherlands plus 120, England's minus 150 to reach the semis. And for a team that it feels like comes up short year after year in these tournaments, I really don't want to get behind that. So I think Netherlands at plus 120 is probably going to be the bet for me. And then tonight in the Copa Americas, we got USA against Panama. We got Uruguay against Bolivia. Look, I think both the U.S. and Uruguay take care of business. Certainly Uruguay. I think Uruguay is going to beat Bolivia. I would look at a first half money line there in that game. We saw the U.S. score in the third minute against Bolivia and then kind of wind it down a little bit. Only won that game 2-0. The U.S., I think tonight against Panama, game could be a little tricky. I'd maybe look at the draw at plus 310. U.S. is certainly the more talented team. They should win this game. But again, outside of that Pulisic goal in the third minute, really wasn't a very convincing performance from the United States. So now they go up against Panama, and we'll see how things go. So I'll take the draw tonight, plus 310 in U.S. and Panama. And then Uruguay, I'll take them in the first half money line against Bolivia as well. Let's talk some NBA draft real quick before we get to Danny Kluppinger, who's standing by, and we'll talk some Wimbledon with Danny here coming up in a little bit. Last night, we had the first round of the NBA draft. We had Richie Say go number one to Atlanta. We had Alexander Sarr go number two to the Wizards. Stephen Castle went number four to the San Antonio Spurs. Really like that pick. We had Reed Sheppard go number three to Houston. My takeaways last night from the draft were, I was going through the first round, really weren't any picks that I really disliked. I thought all the picks, for the most part, were pretty good. The one that kind of stood out to me as a pick that I probably didn't like that much was going to be number five when Ron Holland went to the Detroit Pistons. Now, Ron Holland was one of the top high school prospects coming out this upcoming season. Ended up going the G League route. So the Pistons are banking on that potential. They're obviously a team that lost the most games in the NBA. They need a lot of help. But the reason I don't like it is because when you're picking in the top five, I don't know if that's necessarily the time when you should be taking risks, guys with big time high upside. I think if you're picking in like the 7 to 12, 13 range, that's when you take a guy with maybe big time superstar potential possibly. But I thought the Ron Holland pick was a little bit risky. Some picks that I really liked later in the round, I loved the Terrence Shannon pick to Minnesota. I loved what Minnesota did in their draft last night, getting Rob Dillingham and Terrence Shannon, right? Watching Minnesota throughout the playoffs, it was obvious that Anthony Edwards was clearly their guy, and Karl-Anthony Towns, was very inconsistent. You never knew what you were going to get after Cat and on a nightly basis in the postseason. So I think Cat is they're looking at more offensive options to build around Anthony Edwards, and getting Rob Dillingham, who I thought was maybe the best ISO player in college basketball last year was huge. Getting Terrence Shannon Jr., who was the best player in transition in college basketball, I thought was huge as well. And then Isaiah Collier going to the Utah Jazz at number 29, I thought was an excellent pick as well. So really liked both of those. And then Tristan Da Silva, number 18 of the Magic, I thought was an absolute steal. I like how Orlando's building their team. Guys that can play on both ends of the floor, athletic wings, great defenders, they can rebound. Da Silva's going to fit in perfectly there. Rookie of the year, guys that I would look at. Alexander Sarr, plus 425. He's going to get every opportunity with the Wizards this season, so I think he is a good option. Reed Sheppard, best shooter in the draft at 11-1, I think is an excellent option as well. And then who I was just mentioning, Rob Dillingham at 18-1. Anthony Edwards is clearly the leader of that team. Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be option number two. But Dillingham could have like a Tyrese Maxey effect on the Timberwolves when Maxey came into the league, and I think the value on him for Minnesota could be a good one. So Sarr, Sheppard, and Rob Dillingham, three guys that I would certainly look at. All right, let's talk some Wimbledon. Let's go to the Glasser guest line. Dani Cluppinger is joining us. You can give her a follow on X at Dani Clupp, co-host of Live on the Line, and also can catch her on the Tennis Channel as well. Dani, it's that time. We got another tennis major, and it's the best one. We got Wimbledon, and I'm going through the odds on the women's side, and it reminds me a lot of what we saw pre-tournament in the men's draw in the French Open, where it feels like you can make the case for seven or eight different players that can win this thing. I'll bet MGM, you have six different players on the women's side where their odds are 10-1 or shorter. Iga is still the favorite. We know that clay is certainly her best surface, still very good on grass, but do you feel like she should be the favorite heading into this tournament?
I think the way that we saw her absolutely dominate at Roland Garros, of course she's going to be the favorite because she barely broke a sweat aside from that Naomi Osaka match. She won that one so convincingly, won Roland Garros so convincingly. Of course she's going to come into the next slam as the absolute favorite. But she's okay on grass, 16-7 overall. It's not necessarily her strongest surface, and it was really interesting. She pulled out of the grass court events leading into Wimbledon, so she actually hasn't played an event on the grass yet this season, which is it was a little surprising to watch her do that. Some of the players choose to do that to get some more practice time on the grass rather than match play. But she did win the junior Wimbledon title in 2018. So she's obviously can play on this surface. She's the best player in the world. So it makes sense why she's the favorite, but I don't know if she's necessarily my favorite.
All right. Well, who is your favorite, Dani? Because I wanted to ask you about Ohms Jabeur. She's obviously been the runner-up the last 2 years. Ohms is a fan favorite. Love to see her break through and win one. She's at 10-1 right now. Is she somebody that you consider that maybe you think has a chance of winning?
Absolutely, because this one just means so much to her. I mean, I think you got to see a lot of that pour out on Breakpoint on Netflix if you were able to watch that. She had the Wimbledon trophy as the background of her phone for years. This has meant so much to her, and I think it's affected her play in her mind a little bit, not having won, especially last year when she was the heavy favorite against Marketa Vondrousova. This is a tournament where she can really do really well because, and we've seen it, because of her variety, the way that she's able to work the entire court. I just don't know if she's had the season that backs her as like one of the ones you could favorite in this one. 10-1, you're getting great odds. So obviously someone that's made it to the final two times in a row, it makes a lot of sense. She is starting to put together a little bit better tennis, but overall, not huge exclamation points throughout her entire season this year. And also in one of the tune-up tournaments in this grass court season, just last week, she was playing Coco Gauff and ultimately had to retire from that match because something was bothering her. So is she 100%? Makes me a little nervous. I would honestly look at Jessica Pegula. I believe she's like totally off the board. The last time I looked, I believe she was at plus 2,000
or 21 odds.
She just won a grass court event and she looked fantastic. She's been off the tour for, I don't think she had played since mid-April, dealing with an injury. The American looked so good. Andy Roddick's been seeing her races quite a bit, and Andy Roddick knows a thing or two about tennis, right? So I would back his perspective on that, and I back the American who looked so strong. In her first tournament back, she wins it, and she had to go to bed and sleep on some of those matches because in that tournament that she just won, they had rain delays, so she'd have to come back the next day and then play two matches in a day and still won. So I'm not worried about her fitness. The American at 20-1 value, I love it.
I like that. Anybody else, Danny? You mentioned there were some other favorites that you like. So Sabalenka, obviously an extremely powerful player. Her serve could be good on grass. Rybakina is a former champion. Coco won the U.S. Open. Osaka's looking like she's her old self once again. Anybody else that you like on the women's side?
Yeah, you know, Rybakina has been dealing with a sickness as well in this little grass court season heading into Wimbledon. So her game is so good because she hits so flat, and that's why she won it before. I definitely think she is up there. But, you know, Aryna Sabalenka has never won a title on the grass, and I do believe that that's a big, big goal of hers. So if I was placing my wagers on two women, I would put my money on Sabalenka and I would put it on Pegula as your flyer.
All right, I like it. Let's go to the men's side, Danny. And looking at the men's draw reminds me a lot of when I was preparing for the Euro tournament and I saw that England was favored over France. And I'm like, really? England is favored? And I think a lot of people are going to be surprised to see that Jannik Sinner is favored right now at BetMGM over Carlos Alcaraz. It's close, but Sinner's plus 160, Alcaraz plus 175, and Djokovic is plus 400. What do you make of that? Do you think that Sinner should be the favorite for Wimbledon heading into the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, he's the world number one, so it makes sense that he'd be at the top of the odds board. Also, he just won Halle, so he just won a grass court event, and he won it without barely breaking a sweat. I mean, he lost a set early on in the tournament, but then played Hubi Hurkacz in the final, who's really a good grass court player. In fact, probably one of the best grass court players on the tour just because of that big, massive serve that he has. So for Jannik Sinner to go into a grass court event and win it right after becoming world number one, that's only happened a handful of times. And he's just shown that it doesn't matter which surface he's on, he can get good wins. Now, Carlos Alcaraz lost a bit earlier on in Queens. They're going there to defend his title. It was a shock to everyone last year when Carlos Alcaraz, in his third grass court tournament ever, won it, and that was in Queens last year, and then followed it up with the Wimbledon win. But he lost to a Jack Draper, and it kind of makes you question, what do you think? Do we think that he can bounce back? Which is probably why he's behind Jannik Sinner there. Now, the Novak Djokovic, having won this seven times, the reason he is so far down the odds board is because he just had knee surgery like a couple weeks ago. If you remember, that's why he pulled out of Roland Garros. And he miraculously, like, this guy is actually superhuman. The fact that he is giving a thumbs up yesterday to reporters saying, when they draw, give them a thumbs up. Guys, the fact that he just had a surgery. That's crazy that he's able to heal that quickly and be ready for Wimbledon. But he had one practice with Jannik Sinner yesterday, and he's told reporters, or it seems like he's going to be ready for the draw. He's been playing on the grass. This is a miraculous heal, but five sets all the way through the tournament, I don't know if I can back it.
I mean, that's a really good point. It almost kind of wants to make me, like, bet his matches live, right? Like you mentioned, if Joker goes, like, four or five sets with somebody, maybe, like, he just starts to be human and, like, feel the effects of that. So that'll be something interesting to watch. You gave us Pegula on the women's side. Danny, any dark horse that maybe you like on the men's side?
Yeah, let's stick with the American theme. Tommy Paul. I mean, his serve and volley game is outstanding. He's really great on grass. Just dropped one set in winning the title at Queen's Club this year. And I think he just continues to build on that performance. He's been playing so well. He's 6-3 in breakers on the grass. So mentally, he's very tough. He saw some pressure put on him in the final at Queen's Club, and he was able to bounce right back. I think him and Brad, his coach Brad Stein, have done a really, really good job of getting Tommy ready for this moment. And there's a really good shot the American can pull it off. He has an 84% hold percentage on the surface. That's insane. So I think as a flyer to go with another American, the red, white, and blue could really do some damage at Wimbledon this year. So I'm excited to watch for it.
All right. I love it. Pegula on the women's side, Tommy Paul on the men's side. A couple of long shots there. She's Dani Kluppinger. Give her a follow on X at Dani Klupp, co-host of Live on the Line. And you can also catch her on the Tennis Channel as well. Always joining us here on Send It In to talk the majors. Dani, always appreciate the time. Enjoy Wimbledon. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Great stuff there from Dani. Now to talk some baseball, big league Peach here on Send It In. We got the Twins and the Diamondbacks, 3:40 p.m. Eastern time. David Festa going up against Jordan Montgomery out in the desert today. And anytime we have a pitcher making his major league debut, I'm always going to lean towards the Yerfy, right? Like, just imagine, put yourself in the mind of that pitcher. You've dreamed your whole life of getting to the big leagues. You finally get that first start. You're probably going to be a little anxious, right? You're probably going to be a little bit nervous. There's going to be some anxiety there. So I always like betting a Yerfy whenever I see a pitcher making their major league debut. So I'll take that minus 115 against the D-backs today. I also kind of like the Twins. I think it's a little fishy that this game's a pick'em with Jordan Montgomery going up against the rookie, so I will take Minnesota as well. We got Shota Imanaga for the Cubs going up against the Giants today. Giants are looking for a sweep, four-game sweep against the Cubbies. I think they're going to get it. We've started to see some regression from Luis Gil for the Yankees. Had another rough start last night. We've kind of seen that with Imanaga as well for the Cubbies, so I'll take the Giants at minus 110. It is Chris Sale day in Chicago, but this time around he's pitching for the Braves. Before I hopped on the show today, I was talking with my producer, Shawnee Sharp, who you all know is a White Sox fan, and before he even said, hello, PJ, how you doing? He said, are you betting Chris Sale today? I said, PJ, I said, Shawnee Sharp, you better believe I am. We're going over 7.5 Ks for Chris Sale today against his former team in the White Sox. Marlins and Phillies, Philadelphia, big favorite, minus 300 at home with Zach Wheeler on the mound. Really nothing I want to do. If there's ever a team in baseball that's favored by minus 300, I could only ever take the underdog, but I have no interest in the Marlins today against Zach Wheeler. Rangers and Orioles start a four-game set out in Baltimore. John Gray going up against Corbin Burns. The O's finally snapped their five-game losing streak last night. Texas tends to play them pretty well, though. This total at 7.5, I think, is a little interesting. I get that Burns is on the mound, but even though Corbin Burns is an AL Cy Young candidate, he's been very good for the Orioles this year. He really never has, like, dominant outings. He usually is good for giving up like 2 to 3 runs just about every start. Texas, as we know, has a good lineup. They're starting to get healthy. Baltimore's got a great lineup as well. Think that could possibly be an over game, but I'll take Texas at +1.5 to keep it close. Yankees in Toronto to take on the Blue Jays. Carlos Rodon going up against Jose Berrios. Obviously a rough Subway Series for the Yankees. They got beat badly last night against the Mets. Rodon on the mound tonight going up against Toronto. Had a rain out against Boston yesterday. I think this is a good spot for the Yankees to bounce back. I'll take New York at minus 135. Reds in St. Louis today taking on the Cardinals. Andrew Abbott against Miles Michaelis. I will pass on that game. Give me the Royals on the money line today against the Guardians. Big series here for Kansas City trying to catch some ground in the AL Central. Big stretch here for the Guardians, right? You go on the road, you play Baltimore. Now you turn around and go on the road to face Kansas City. Ben Lively against Michael Wacha. Wacha's actually been okay for the Royals this season. I'll take them at minus 105. And Jack Flaherty's been excellent for Detroit this year. They're in Anaheim taking on the Angels. I'll back Flaherty and the Tigers in the first five against the Angels. All right, let's go to Matt, Model Making Money. Check in with Matt Horner. Gave us a lot of winning picks in the MLB yesterday. So did the BetQL model. So Matt will try and do that once more. What is the BetQL model like for us today?
Yeah, the model nailed it yesterday, taking the Astros -1.5, a complete destruction there.
Yeah.
The model is going with the Giants today, as you were just talking about the Giants taking on Imanaga. We have this as a five-star play. Giants have been crushing lefties this year. They have a 120 WRC+. It's their better split. Imanaga, as you said, due for some more regression. He's been getting it lately. 2.96 ERA, 3.55 expected, and a 3.58 expected FIP. So more regression is coming his way, and the Giants, how good they are against lefties. Our model loves the Giants today, so take them on the money line.
Fair enough. I've been betting the Giants a couple times in that series, and they've been good to me so far. Matt, what about you? You nailed it yesterday with the Mets. That was an easy winner. What do you have for today as your best bet?
Yeah, so I'm going to go tonight. I know you said you like the Yankees there. I'm going to go the opposite side. I'm going to take the Blue Jays tonight on the money line. First five and full game. I'm probably going to split the unit, so a half unit here, a half unit there. Carlos Rodon, he's on the mound for the Yankees. I've been fading him a lot recently, and it's started to finally pay off because his regression has started to come. I think more could come tonight, looking at the advanced stats, as I usually do. 3.86 ERA, 4.59 expected, and a 4.40 expected FIP. His strand rate, 78.4, still a little high. And his hard, he's been getting hit really hard, 1.42 home runs through nine. This is not really a backing of Jose Berrios, who also sucks, to be quite honest. But the Blue Jays have a better defense. They're first in defensive runs saved. They're second in outs above average, so they're way better on defense than the Yankees are. Both teams had that rain delay yesterday. The Yankees, they had to kind of wait it out, had to play late into the night, use their bullpen. The other side, Toronto, they played like an inning, and then that was postponed. So the Yankees not getting into Toronto over the border till like 3 a.m. Rest could be a factor as well. And with slates like this in the MLB, I just try to find value, honestly. And if you're going to get plus money with the Blue Jays with all those factors, I like it. So give me the Blue Jays on the money line.
I think that's a good handicap about the rest advantage that Toronto has. And I wanted to ask you about that, Matt, about the slate, right? Obviously, we get these getaway games these days in the MLB season. Do you prefer these kind of slates where there aren't as many games, but maybe the lines are a little bit sharper? Or do you prefer the days where we have 15 games to choose from and you really feel like you can get some better angles and advantages?
Yeah, honestly, I love bigger slates much more when it comes to actually betting. Now, of course, being the content producer I am, the shorter slates means less handicapping I have to do. But at the same time, it's a lot tougher to find the advantages because the odds makers are going to be on them. Shorter slate there. So I like bigger slates. Honestly, there's just more advantages, more lines that are going to be off and I can find some value in. So tomorrow, I think I'll probably have more plays. That's why I only have one best bet for you today, going with the Blue Jays. So yeah, give me the bigger slates. I like them more than the shorter ones.
All right, very good. Matt, before I let you go, I do want to get your thoughts on the NBA draft last night. Obviously, the first round is complete. We do have odds available for Rookie of the Year. Anything that stood out to you? Maybe a price that you think could be a little bit high? Was there a landing spot with a certain player to a team that you like? Anything that caught your eye in the Rookie of the Year market?
Yeah, first of all, I want to say Tristan Da Silva under 17.5, and he goes at 18. That was painful. I got to tell you, that was quite painful. I think it's a great fit with the Magic, though, but that was quite painful losing by one pick there. But yeah, in terms of the Rookie of the Year market, Stephon Castle, 7-1, I think is pretty good value. You were talking about Reed Sheppard, also, I think, great value there at 12-1. If you want a longer shot, Terrence Shannon. I am an Illinois fan. I loved watching Terrence Shannon play. He's amazing in transition. Like you said, he gets to the free throw line a lot. Got to work on his jumper, I think, a little bit. But he has really high upside. And personally, I think he has something to prove, you know, with all these outside factors, not getting into them. But I think he has something to prove here. And at 80-1, I know the playing time is going to be a little iffy, but I think he has something to prove. Give me 80-1 for maybe just a little bit of a sprinkle there.
I love that. Yeah, I think Minnesota is a really good landing spot for him, getting to play with Anthony Edwards, Rob Dillingham now. So like that Shannon look a lot. Matt Horner joining us back-to-back days here on Send It In. Matt, great stuff with baseball, man. Good luck tonight, and we'll catch up again next week.
Thanks, PJ. See you then.
All right, man. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, it is time to wrap up the show. PJ's plays here on Send It In. Aaron Judge, you know, I mushed Stephen Kwan yesterday when he was playing against the Orioles. That's a real shame for Stephen Kwan, right? Guy's batting 385. I take him in going streaking, doesn't get a hit. Aaron Judge, surely I can't mush him, right? I mean, no way. Guy's going to win AL MVP, had his 30th home run last night, playing Berrios in the Blue Jays. Aaron Judge, he's going to get a hit for us tonight. He's my guy in going streaking. My prop lock is going to be Chris Sale over 7.5 Ks, as I mentioned, against the White Sox. I know my guy Shawnee Sharpe's got a bet in that game as well, so I will save it for him. I think he's going to have a lot of excitement behind that play. Dog of the day is going to be the Rangers plus 1.5 for me against the Orioles. I think it's going to be a close game, one-run game. I kind of think it could be like a 5-4, 6-5 type game. Orioles have been playing some pretty close games lately. I don't think this one is going to be any different. I'll take Texas to keep it close, plus 1.5 at minus 125. All right, Shawnee Sharpe, your boy is facing your boy's facing your team tonight.
It is Chris Sale day.
Yeah,
you know, that was one of the only times when I knew the White Sox were going to be bad, I could go to a game and enjoy it. So he's coming back to the South Side of Chicago. I see your 7.5 strikeouts, Peach, and I raise it to 9+. In his 5 games against the White Sox's former team, Chris Sale has had 9 or more in 4 of the 5. The most recent one, he had 7, but he had 10, 10, and 9. So I like that a lot, especially at the value. It just dropped actually right now to plus 110 instead of plus 125. So you make sure you hop on that. And also, I mean, you could say that Chris Sale will be cutting up the White Sox starting lineup today. So, you know,
I see what you did there. And you're already moving lines. Look at that. You bet him 9+. It's moving. Plus 125, plus 110.
Call me Shawnee Sharpe for now.
This is true. I'm going to take the Netherlands plus 120 to make it to the semifinals in Euro 2024. We talked about it, the draw. If you're England and Netherlands, you got to be thrilled with the fact that France, Portugal, Spain, Germany, they're all on one side of the bracket. So Netherlands, you just got to beat Romania, and then hopefully you can win the next game, and you got yourself in the semifinals against Austria. If they can beat Austria or Turkey, the winner of that game, they can move on to the semifinals. I think it's great value at plus 120. I'll take the Dutch to make it to the semis. Once again, our best bets for today: Aaron Judge going streaking against Jose Berrios, 10-for-27 against Berrios in his career. We'll take Judge. Chris Sale over 7.5 strikeouts is going to be my prop lock, and Shawnee Sharpe's best bet, 9 or more strikeouts for Chris Sale. Rangers plus 1.5 dog of the day, and the Netherlands to make the semis in the Euro plus 120. Thanks again to Danny Kluppinger. A lot of great stuff on Wimbledon, and Matt Horner as well. Make sure you go check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. We got NBA draft, Wimbledon, baseball. We got it all for you. We'll see you guys tomorrow to wrap up the week. Have a great rest of your day.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. ActiveGuard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.